Never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm gonna get him!
Welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report, where we're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful, blustery, rainy Northwest Pennsylvania. We broadcast live every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on our flagship network, the Global Star Radio Network. Proud to be a part of that, proud to be a part of their lineup, really. What a great, fantastic network they've got. I was on with Ted Brower today. From 3 to 4, in case you missed that. That was a good show, I thought. Joe, that was a great show.
Yes, it was.
Yes. What did we talk about?
You don't know. Health stuff and yeah.
Okay, so Eric the Tech is weighing in over there.
Geopolitics.
Actually, I was pretty coherent during his show, I thought. Anyway,
I didn't get a chance to listen.
I know you were otherwise preoccupied. And folks, for the people who are, we had a really a lot of stuff going on today. So, our apologies to those that we were scheduled to talk with and didn't or attempted to reach us. Just a very, very busy day. Actually started at 6:30 this morning and just never let up. So there it is. But folks, I want to let you know that we simulcast on Blog Talk Radio as well as YouTube Live. And I want to thank JD from NeptuneDiaries.com. JD, thank you so much for taking care of putting that up on our website today at HagmanandHagman.com. We've got two websites, two primary websites. The first for the show is HagmanandHagman.com. All right, there you click on, you get to the show, and it's all there. And then to the right is the navigation bar, and you look there, it's laid out pretty nicely for you. Our news, our show prep site is HagmanReport.com. So we've got HagmanandHagman.com and then HagmanReport.com. So there you have it. It's and Rhonda, God bless you for really handling that. What we do is we take the most important news and we put it on Hagman Report. Rhonda does that, and she does a great job with that. So having said that, but we simulcast on our YouTube channel. And folks, if you haven't subscribed yet to the YouTube channel, please do subscribe. It helps us. Dave Hodges, too, I want to mention this, who's also on Global Star, has a YouTube channel as well, brand new. Go to thecommonsenseshow.com and you can find his link to his YouTube channel. I would urge everyone to subscribe to his channel as well. We need to push this. We need to get the word out there. We need to really become more aggressive in spreading around the knowledge and the truth. So, anyway, I'm Doug Hagman at the helm, fellow investigator Joe Hagman. Together we are what I like to call the Hagman and Hagman Report, what I like to call the America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. So we got a lot to cover tonight. First hour, news, stories of import. second and third hours.
Stories of import?
Of import, yes. I'm taking your calls. Oh, man, Eric the Tech fan club. Anyway. Yes. We gotta get him on mic, man.
What we're doing is each and every Wednesday now we're gonna have at least 2 hours dedicated to open phone lines to hear from you, the listeners.
Yep.
We want to hear questions, comments, concerns. We want to hear any suggestions you might have. anything you want to say as far as weighing in on the issues or anything we talk about or anything we don't talk about that you want to hear talked about. You just give us a call and we'll be taking calls each and every Wednesday.
Yes, and preference will be given to first-time callers, because what we want to do is we want to expand, of course. And you know, a lot of times we, you know what? If you haven't called in, line up first. And the number will appear on your screen. Or, Joe, what's the number?
And we'll give it out.
Or we'll give it out later this hour. Want to let you know, portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by, and folks, pay attention to this website, okay? SafeguardMidwest.com. SafeguardMidwest.com/Hagman. All right. SafeguardMidwest.com/Hagman. More about them later. I'll just say this. Megan Hopp and Safeguard, they've teamed up to really meet all of your business forms, your promotional item needs. Megan is she's got a wonderful team of professional designers to create and complete marketing kit.
Very hardworking
business.
We'll get everything done on time. Has great logistical abilities. In Dallas, this is a company we use to create our t-shirts and our hats, and they were shipped to Dallas on time and exactly what we ordered. And they're helping us, working with us, putting together a web store, and very nice, very helpful, very customer service oriented.
Christian-owned company, Christian-owned franchise. Megan Hopp is the key player there, the key business person there, and she's a fantastic person, and it's a Christian family. God bless them. So, all right. I'm down.
Your internet's
not
working.
No, I'm down.
You want to share the cord?
No, actually, I don't think, don't know. What button did I push here? All right. Well, a couple of things. You know, folks, I'm going to start with this, and you chime in too, because
I know where you're going to start.
You know, this just bakes my batter. I mean, this gets my goat. And it's not funny, really. This should be an example of how wrong things are today. David DeLeiden's home in California. The guy behind the Center for Medical Progress, the guy who is responsible for doing all the undercover videos, it was raided Tuesday by officials under the office of the California Attorney General. You might know her, Kamala Harris, right? You might know who she is. Yeah. Harris has been investigating him for months after the video expose of Planned Parenthood's alleged baby parts scheme. Well, his videos made the rounds and showed Planned Parenthood, showed their activity, their criminal activity, alleged criminal activity, because we know we live in a litigious society, and anyone can sue anyone for anything, regardless of how insane the suits are. Well, so I want to make sure his videos allegedly show Planned Parenthood personnel actively negotiating the sales of liver, lungs, hearts, and other organs of aborted unborn children. Now, Joe, come on. Grab a seat at the table here.
All right. Yeah, this is a mess.
You know what this reminds me of?
I couldn't even begin to guess.
The judge in New York State. Television. Get out of my courtroom! You're a liar!
Well, what happened here is Planned Parenthood should have been held accountable for their role.
Should be held accountable.
Yeah, for their role in not only abortions, but in this instance here, we're talking about the selling of aborted baby body parts and tissue matter. Now, agents seized all video footage from David's apartment, along with his personal information. And on a Facebook post, David said that agents left behind documents that contained, or that the contents implicated Planned Parenthood in illegal behavior relating to the handling of the case. Now, Center for Medical Progress spokesman Peter Rabio confirmed the social media posting is authentic, but declined to comment further. So what happened here is the people who filmed the undercover videos showing the under-the-table business Planned Parenthood was engaged in was selling aborted baby parts, and we all saw the gruesome videos that the Center for Medical Progress released. And, you know, with these evil people from Planned Parenthood who were just so thrilled to be able to, you know, provide heads of dead babies and other body parts. Well, this has been turned around on the people who exposed the murders and the subsequent sale of these body parts. And they're being, remember, they were indicted. There was a grand jury convened a few months back, looking at Planned Parenthood and to see if it was in the wrong. The grand jury came back and indicted the filmmakers from the Center for Medical Progress.
Say it with me.
And that was just all backwards. So now they're taking it a step further, and the Department of Justice in California are now personally going after the people behind the videos. And it's getting dirty. It's getting ugly. And Planned Parenthood still not being held accountable. Not only are they not being held accountable, the news and mainstream media is covering up their murderous activities and the continuation, covering up the exposure from the Center for Medical Progress videos. I mean, it's just a mess. I don't know.
Everyone should be outraged over this.
They should be. I'm not going to say what I want.
Here is our position, my position, and having done this, having done investigations for over 30 years, there are pretexts. You can actually create a pretext and go into a location and we've done this. Joe and I have done this. This is why that we're so familiar with this. You as investigators, you're allowed to go into
Planned Parenthood was selling desks, for instance.
Desks, okay.
You can go in there with say, give a fake name and say you're there to inquire about the purchasing of desks.
Right.
And maybe throw in something else. I mean, you can go in there, even if they're not selling desks, you can go in there.
You can't ask them to sell cocaine to you, for example.
Right.
But if the normal, so the pretext has to be consistent with the normal course of their business activity, is what you're trying to say.
Right.
Rather than go into other avenues here.
You can't go to McDonald's and ask for a Burger King burger, but I mean, like you said, it has to have to do with the daily activities.
And that's a permissible pretext, okay? For example, police officers do this all the time. They pose as undercover officers. They go in, and if they suspect someone of selling cocaine, for example, they'll go in and make a controlled buy. Or if they suspect in vice, they suspect a prostitute, or a woman is a prostitute, or a man is a John in that case. They can set up a sting operation. Now, are they engaging in that prostitution? No. Or are they asking, for example, the owner of a pizza shop to engage in prostitution or to sell them cocaine if there is nothing, if there's no evidence to support that possibility? No. So, as long as the pretext is consistent with the alleged activity, then it's a permissible pretext. Now, I mean, it's just that simple. I'm not even sure how to explain it any more simple right. than that. So you go in, you misrepresent yourself. Obviously, you're not going to go in and saying, well, we're going to do a documentary and showing how you are breaking the law. No, you can't, because obviously you're not going to get anything, any meat on that. So you go in and you represent yourself as someone who you're not. Now, there's a lot of discussion about, oh, the fake driver's licenses and what have you. Well, that remains to be seen. Okay. And if that was the case, that perhaps that might be a county or a state issue. But at the very least, all right, even to take it up a few notches, the fact that Planned Parenthood gets a pass and they come down on the Center for Medical Progress in this fashion tells me there's no interest in justice here. Because... And I remember as an operational asset working for the Department of Justice myself back in the 1990s, going in and actually making a mistake. I actually made a mistake when I was doing an investigation. Yeah, can you believe it? I actually made a mistake. And it was a mistake that the Department of Justice said, you know what? You actually broke the law. I said, oh. And I won't get into what happened. It's really not that big of a deal. It was just a procedural error more than anything else, but that procedure broke the law. However, what they did was, okay, well, in the interest of what we're doing, obviously, you're not the target of our investigation. They are, or you're not the target of any investigation. It's the person that you're going after. So, things happen all the time. Procedural mistakes happen all the time. Now, this was not a sanctioned Justice Department operation or any sanctioned law enforcement operation. This was an independent investigative operation. Not even a journalist. Center for Medical Progress is not acting as a journalist, I don't believe. They were acting on their own behalf to expose this network of selling body parts. Alleged network, thank you, Eric, of selling body parts. You got that disclaimer there, alleged. I just want to make sure because, you know, again... So, in real life, and let me just explain this, in real life, we have had real life experiences with this. And in real life, the Justice Department says, okay, we're going to go through and, you know, we're going to pick this up where you left off, and thank you very much. And here's your baseball cap or t-shirt, and have a good day. That's how it works. In real life. After, of course, you go in and you sign all kinds of papers saying that, hey, we accidentally shoot you in the back of the head when we're raiding the place, or you know, if you happen to, you know, whatever, or if we accidentally kill you, your estate won't sue us, and we're going to disavow all knowledge of you. And, you know, things go south, basically, and you turn over you sign off your, oh, yeah, they do that. It's a process. So, and in the civil end of things, just so you know, in the different states that we've investigated, Joe, you and I, we've gone in. You know, for example, if a person, and I'll use this as an example. Let's just say a person's working for the state of New York, and that person, we'll say, a real life case, okay, working for the state of New York. As a city, in the city works department. Alright. He slips on the job, falls, and his doctor says, okay, we can't work for at least 6 months. Goes to his doctor and says, oh man, you know, doctor says, look, not only can't you work for 6 months, you're probably going to be disabled for the rest of your life. Now suddenly, let's say the guy's 30 years old, and this is similar to a case we worked. That claim is going to be in the millions of dollars of lost wages, anticipated lost wages. So he gets an attorney, and he sues the state of New York for, we'll say, $3-4 million. Happens. However, let's say the guy, during his period of disability, while attempting to collect $3-4 million from the state of New York, to replace the wages that he doesn't have anymore, Meanwhile, he's receiving compensation, workers' compensation from the insurance policy. He opens up a chimney sweep business. Or better yet, no, I'll go with real life. He opens up a home inspection business that requires him to actually climb on roofs and climb underneath houses and do all sorts of gymnastics. Even more work-related, more work-intense than he was doing at the City Works Department. So we go and we say, look, we're thinking about buying this house over here on... we're thinking about buying this house, so we'd like you to do an inspection. How much do you charge? Well, the inspection is $340. All right. Here's $340 in cash. Of course, we're wearing, you know, cameras or it's under surveillance, like the Center for Medical Progress was. Now, we're not asking him to sell us cocaine. We're not asking him to drive us to the laundromat. We're not asking him to do anything outside the normal course of operations that he's doing. So we're allowed to go up there and say, inspect this house for us, under the pretext that we're going to buy it, under the pretext that we are somebody we're not, under the pretext that we are looking to buy this house. We get the audio, videotape and such, give it to the insurance company, whose attorney says, hey, great job. What are you doing on May 20th? Well, I don't know why. Well, you want us to subpoena you, or, you know, can you come and testify? Oh, we'll come and testify against the guy to authenticate your video and audio. Okay. May 20th rolls around. Mr. Smith, the guy that does the home inspection, is there. Looks at us and says, oh, my goodness. And the attorney says, what's this all about? Well, Mr. Smith says, didn't I tell you I have a home inspection business? There goes a $3 or $4 million claim out the window. Well, it's not quite that simple, but I just gave you the architecture of the case. What is the Center for Medical, and all of this is permissible under state law. We're just giving you the civil side of things. And we've done this hundreds and hundreds of times. Thousands of times. Yet, the Department of Justice with the Center for Medical Progress with this David Deleden, yeah, what did they do? They storm troop into his house. They basically bust down his door. They rip everything apart, looking for evidence.
And he's right on what he said on social media. He called this an attack on citizen journalism.
Absolutely.
And he's right on the money. That's exactly what this is.
And I'm going to tell everyone who's doing this. Go ahead.
Not only is it an attack on citizen journalism, it is an attack on those who are waging war against the murderous agenda of the satanic elite. And the satanic elite are showing that they will use the oppressive role of the government to stamp out any type of rebellion against them or exposure of them.
And everyone should be paying attention to this. If you have a website, if you have a blog, if you have a vlog or video channel, whatever you might have, you ought to be paying attention to this because you hit a sensitive area. And this could be you. This could be us. And I say that in with all due respect for everyone out there, but if you think this can happen to you, you're wrong.
David Delanian released a statement this afternoon where he said, today, the California Attorney General's Office of Kamala Harris, who was elected with tens of thousands of dollars from taxpayer-funded Planned Parenthood, money seized all video footage showing Planned Parenthood's criminal trade in aborted baby parts, in addition to my personal information. Ironically, while seizing my First Amendment work product, they ignored documents showing the illicit schemes between STEM Express and Planned Parenthood. This is no surprise. Planned Parenthood's bought and paid for Attorney General has steadfastly refused to enforce the law against the baby body parts traffickers in our state, or even investigate them, while at the same time doing their bidding to harass and intimidate citizen journalists. We will pursue all remedies to vindicate our First Amendment rights. It goes on to add, Matt Heffron, a former federal prosecutor with Arizona and currently a legal advisor to Delanian, said, "To storm into a private citizen's home with a search warrant is outrageously out of proportion for the type of crime alleged. It is a discredit to law enforcement and oppressive abuse of government power." And he's exactly right. This is a oppressive abuse of government power, and being done for the purposes of doing Planned Parenthood's vengeance for being exposed.
That's right. I'm wondering how many people have been either on the receiving end or the giving end of a search warrant. Either end is pretty stressful, let me tell you. And if you're on the giving end, or if you're executing a search warrant, having been on both ends, I'd much rather be on the executing end than the receiving end. I've seen this happen. And let me tell you, it's a very intimidating, even under the best of circumstances. It's very intimidating. And this is designed to send a chill through the citizen journalist community. And this is a clear message by this Department of Justice, by the Obama regime, by the people behind this satanic agenda, that they will not have any of this. They're not going to have any of this. So when I say people like Dave Hodges and us, we're taking chances. Dave Hodges is taking a chance. Ted Brewer's taking a chance. Steve Quayle's taking a chance. When we step out and we're taking the chance, this is not yay us, but understand what we're doing. Understand that this could be any one of us. Please don't take this lightly. And if you have, you're in a position where you've got a website or some sort of presence, when you're making a difference and you're striking some nerves, it can be you. Please understand that.
There's a piece from Activist Post from 30th of March. Citizen journalism's not all what it's cracked up to be.
No, ain't
but
that
it goes
true.
On to talk about, you know, what's happened to the mainstream media, how this question is being asked by millions of thinking people more than ever before. They go on to say, this could be a real clue, can be found in what may be termed soundbite reporting rather than investigative journalism dug up by investigative journalists. They, like the extinct dodo bird, are becoming a vestige of the past, especially since most media, 90% in the USA, are owned and controlled and manipulated by five corporations: Time Warner, Disney, Murdoch's News Corporation, Bertelsmann of Germany, and Viacom. In former years, issues of Time magazine used to be filled with its pages of investigative journalists compared to today. It has scaled down and just packed full of propaganda versus good reporting in times past. And they call this crowd control for the mind. They say the apparent storm of arousal of misrepresentation information from what some call the lamestream press, the alternative media and press have left mainstream news in the dust. One reason is that the internet allows access to global networks where some independent news reporting is very different from the supposed free press in the USA. One really has to question why U.S. citizens are not permitted to know information about certain topics discussed openly and freely in other country, in other countries, specifically regarding to the dangers of vaccines. And it goes on to talk about the effectiveness and of the mainstream media and questioning their efficiency and what they plan to do amidst this backlash of citizen journalism, which has taken captive more audience members than mainstream media has in recent years. And this is something we talked about at the Hear the Watchman conference on the media panel with my dad, myself, Josh Tolley, and J.B. Wells.
That's right.
We talked about advantages, disadvantages of the alternative media, challenges and opportunities. And there are so many opportunities for citizen journalists out there today because the mainstream media is not doing investigative journalism.
Not at all.
Investigative journalism is what the Center for Medical Progress was doing. And yes, it's unfortunate that, you know, they did a good job. They provided the proof. They provided, in my mind, all that is needed to show, you know, the story for what it is, that Planned Parenthood was illegally trafficking in dead baby body parts. But the government, as I said, would not allow that to continue because this is a, you know, we know abortion is the satanic sacrifice that the elite use for power and control. And exposure of this for what it really is will bring the tyrannical government down on your head.
And I think, you know, once more, the importance here, there's a couple of different areas of importance, but I believe the primary importance is you've got you, the citizen journalist, the person out there who, if you're trying to make a difference, you're going to get a lot of flack. And expect it from the government, expect it from others. Expect it in the form of this kind of harassment. Expect it in the form of vexatious litigation. Expect it in the form of email harassment. Expect it in the form of any type of harassment you can think of. Expect it in the form of surveillance on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Expect it in the form of out and out harassment. Accusations, unfounded accusations of any nature almost. Slander. You're going to be putting yourself in the line of fire. Just understand that how important this is. So don't be surprised one day, if you're out there doing this, that you're going to be caught in this line of fire. And I've got to give it to this David DeLeon and you know, for his, for not only his investigative work product, which I found extremely, and people will say, well, this is edited. Understand what they're saying, okay? If they're looking at the video or audio tape, when a person goes in, or when an investigator, for example, goes into, we'll say, an area of interest, you turn on the tape, or you turn on the cameras, if it's a hidden camera, you turn that camera on as you're getting out of the car, we'll say, or as you're entering the premises at some point. So there's a lot of time. There might be an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Who knows? There might be a lot of lead time that shows nothing or shows a lot of nothing. And then you might have 20 minutes or however long of actual footage that is relevant. And then maybe another hour of stuff that's irrelevant or just rustling, and then again another 10 minutes, and you know, so yeah, maybe for public consumption, they cut out all the stuff that is necessary to maintain the integrity of the initial evidence, but you wouldn't want to sit through. So yes, in those terms, perhaps the video was edited. So the accusations of editing, while they imply, for example, that the intent was changed or something was changed to make Planned Parenthood look bad or represent something else, that's truly false. And we have heard those. I mean, that's the go-to. That is the absolute go-to excuse in the investigative venue. Believe me, the very first question when you're on the witness stand and testifying to the authenticity of a video or audio tape, did you take it and is it edited? Well, of course not. And they will inspect that you bring the original. So the accusations of editing are fallacious, and it's just it's a time-worn concept of, it's ridiculous. And most importantly, were there any laws broken? Okay, you know, it's interesting because let's say, for example, you break a law, you break a or you commit a summary offense in either to stop or expose a felony in progress. Okay. What is, think about that for a second. Okay. If you are just a normal, everyday citizen, and you commit a summary offense, we'll just say you park in a no parking area, and you get out to help someone that you see maybe involved in a getting beat up or something, and you save that person's life. While you're away from your vehicle, meter maid puts a ticket on your windshield. Gee whiz. And for whatever reason, well, okay, so the news reports and says, hey, this person was parked in a loading zone and got a ticket, as opposed to this person went out and saved a life by helping and by intervening in a fight. As an example, that's how the media is spinning all of this. But worse, this administration, this rogue regime, this criminal cabal of Satanists, they are pushing the news story to reflect exactly that, to spin this and to make the Center for Medical Progress the bad guys. Keep in mind these facts. A baby's heart starts beating in the womb between 18 and 25 days. So don't tell me that that we're not talking about a human life. EEGs show the presence of brainwaves at 43 days. Now, don't forget we accept the absence of brainwaves as presence, the absence of brainwaves as an indication of death. So, wouldn't it be right to accept their presence as evidence of life at 43 days? All brain and body functions are present at 8 weeks. At 8 weeks, the baby will wake up, will sleep, will make a fist, will suck his or her thumb, and will get the hiccups. Parents, you know what I'm talking about. 8 weeks. At 10 weeks, a baby is sensitive to heat, sensitive to touch, light, and noise. And at the moment of conception, a genetically unique individual experiences its genesis. And
it's not what science says. No.
You know what?
Science says no.
Science, what does science say then?
It is not a living thing. Ever.
Until when?
Until it's either killed or is born. I mean, really.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And I jumped in there and interrupted just to prove a point. Yesterday we talked about a story of Hillary Clinton talking about, let me pull it up here. Hillary Clinton, unborn person has no constitutional rights. Well, she took heat from pro-life groups for using the word unborn person, saying that a person gives the connotation of somebody who is alive, who has rights. Democratic primary frontrunner Hillary Clinton ran afoul of both the pro-life and pro-choice sides of the abortion debate Sunday when she said constitutional rights do not apply to an unborn person or child. The unborn person does not have constitutional rights, Ms. Clinton said on NBC Meet the Press. Now, that doesn't mean that we do not do everything we possibly can in the vast majority of instances to, you know, help a mother who's caring and who wants to make sure her child will be healthy and have appropriate medical support. Well, Mrs. Clinton said there is room for reasonable kinds of restriction when dealing with abortion in the third trimester of pregnancies. But the issue here is the specific term person is a legal conception that includes rights and statuses that the law protects, including protection of a person's life under the laws against homicide. Pro-choice intellectuals have said that even an unborn child is a life, it is not yet a person. So you get into the terminology war here with, you know, fetus, person, unborn baby, unborn child, unborn fetus. So what they do is they change the terminology and use the word fetus. This way, they think, in their minds, they are free from liability in the law.
Have you learned, or do people understand, and what's the origin
of
the word fetus?
That's a good question.
Fetus is from the Latin. What does it mean? From Latin, what does it mean? Look it up.
Well, if you know the answer.
Yeah. Look it up.
I'll look it up.
Okay.
Well, I think we've done this before.
Look up the word fetus, the Latin root for fetus. All right. And take a moment. It's that important. Take a moment to do this, folks. Look up the Latin for fetus, let me rephrase that. The word fetus comes from what Latin word? And what's the meaning of that word?
All right.
All right. So, at any rate, while you're doing that, it's just, this is absolutely critical that we understand what's going on here, that this is a political game.
All right. Merriam-Webster's dictionary.
Right.
An unborn or unhatched vertebrae or mammal, especially after 8 weeks. A human being or animal in the later stages of development before it is born. That's a simple definition. Unhatched vertebrae, especially after attaining the basic structural plan of its kind, specifically a developing human from its usual 2 months after conception to birth.
All right. Well,
it goes on.
Again, I can't get to my show notes here, obviously. But anyway, look up where the word fetus comes from. It has its Latin origins. And the bottom line, it's a human life. And what they're doing is they're changing the terminology here, yeah, where they're attempting to use the, instead of saying human or person, they're quick to say, don't use that. Don't use that, because we don't want to give any, We're being gamed. See, all the language is being changed. And if you notice,
they say,
too,
abort a child is medically inaccurate, as the fetus is not yet the child. Dealing with, as we're talking about, the terminology aspect of things.
Right, right. And you do have to understand, folks, what we're talking about is, it goes back to the early days with the Tavistock Institute, with the social engineering. You have to understand that it's just not about abortion. The normalcy, attempting to make normal the homosexual agenda. Gay, for example, in place of homosexual. You think that's an innocuous attempt, or you think that's innocuous? No, that's designed.
And did you see recent polls where people were asked what percentage of the population in America, people thought that were gay, and
yeah,
you had people saying, 20-40% as their average answer.
The numbers were outrageous.
Yeah. It's like 3%, if that.
Yeah, it's 2.5% was the standard for a long time. We'll even go up to 3.25%, 3.5% at most, but it's not beyond that. And my question is, let's say it's a 3.5%.
Let's say it's 5%.
Well, all right, I would prefer to be more technically accurate based on polls. So let's stay with 3.5%. Why are 96.5% of the why is 96.5% of the population catering to 3.5% of the population? Because the 3.5% are more organized; they're financially backed. Why?
Part of the agenda to tear apart the family, to tear apart the moral fabric of this country.
That's
part of this Luciferian agenda that the elites have been carrying out for generations.
Yes.
That is why it has the backing of all the corporations, the courts, the government. It's just like the dollar. It's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government.
Yeah.
And why would that be if it is such a low number of people who...
Well, once more, we've seen this with respect to the homosexual agenda. Why, for example, why is the homosexual agenda so important to the globalist? Because it rips down the nuclear family, the biblical family of husband and wife. Well, when you look at the larger agenda here, in order to take this country out, and take it down as a power, it's more difficult to attack it from the outside. So you gotta capture it from within. And to do that, you need to go through a number of different steps, including redefining, the nuclear family, the family unit. You've gotta revise history. So it looks like, so the history is nothing close to the truth. you've got to tolerate, infuse a level of tolerance into society that it would not ordinarily have. Well, how do you do that? You remove prayer and the Bible from schools. You attack the nuclear family by or the homeschooling. You put people, you put young people, young children into young adults into not public schools but government schools. I mean, public schools, government schools, same thing, but it more appropriately worded government schools. And it's all part of, when you go back, it's part of this one world globalist agenda that has its framework under the communist, the one world order is a communist based, has its infrastructure in communism. So, but ultimately, I mean, that's pretty much it. So look at it that way. And that way you can understand why, for example, McCarthy, even today, who exposed a lot of things, although had his own problems and fought his own demons back in the 50s, early 50s, you can understand why McCarthy has been vilified. You can understand why McCarthy has become a verb. You can understand why no one believes, or few believe, the truth about the communist infiltration back in the post-World War II days. Well, what does that have to do with things today? A lot, because it set up the infrastructure for the global, the internal takeover and the taking on America, but to make us, to subjugate us to this global network.
And they're doing this, you know, one of the most obvious ways we see it is in our economy, in gutting the middle class, in not only jobs and resources, but in money. And now, today, Obama is setting up prosecutorial discretion as his excuse, saying illegal immigrants will be eligible for Social Security and disability. This article goes on to ask, does the President of the U.S. have the power to unilaterally give millions of individuals who are violating federal law federal benefits for which they are not currently eligible due to their unlawful status? Through the Solicitor General, President Obama is telling the Supreme Court that is exactly what they want to do. What's the Solicitor General calls what Obama is doing prosecutorial discretion. He argues it's a particular type of prosecutorial discretion that the executive can make millions of people in this country illegally eligible for Social Security, disability, and Medicare. On April 18th, the Supreme Court will hear arguments from the case entitled U.S. v. Texas. It pits President Obama against not only the Lone Star State, but also the majority of states which have joined in the litigation against the administration. At issue is the policy the administration calls deferred action for parents of America and lawful permanent residents, which would allow aliens in this country to illegally, or in this country illegally, who are parents of citizens or lawful permanent residents to stay in the United States. Not only that, he's unilaterally creating a program called DAPA, D-A-P-A, that contrives Congress' complex statutory framework for determining whether an alien may lawfully enter in, remain in, and work in the country. And it takes it a step further. DAPA would deem over 4 million unlawful present aliens lawful eligibility for work authorization, and to establish a classification from Congress for benefits such as Medicare, Social Security, and federal food stamp programs. So what the president is doing, despite the law, is telling those aliens who are here illegally, based on his deferred action, that they will be able to legally work in the United States. And if they are unable to lawfully work, individuals with deferred action will, who cannot make ends meet, will be able to become part of the food stamp programs or the Social Security, Supplemental Security Income, Temporary Aid for Families in Need, and other federal benefits. It's just amazing to me what this president is getting away with. People here in America, American citizens, specifically veterans, over 50,000 homeless veterans who can't get benefits, out on the streets. But here you're You're allowing millions of people who are here illegally, committing crimes by being here, and giving them the rights and benefits that soldiers who fought for the freedoms of this country can't even receive. The Supreme Court will hear these arguments in the middle of April of this month. So, to sum this up, an illegal alien will be able to work in the United States and will be considered a lawful person, eligible for Social Security, retirement, disability, Medicare, and other social programs. This is what the president's fighting for and hopes the Supreme Court will implement in order to allow these illegal aliens not only legal work status, but legalities to apply for and receive federal benefits, whether it be Social Security, Medicare, or food stamps.
In addition to that, before he gets out of office, the renegade in chief, and Joe, I'm going to tell you one thing.
Just one?
You're going to have to adhere to show rules. Okay?
That depends on what those rules are.
Well, he's the renegade in chief. He's not the president. You can call him the putative president.
He's the president.
No, he's an illegal occupier of the Oval Office. Show me where he's eligible to be president. And I got an email. Hey, apparently,
it doesn't matter. Show me where these people are eligible to be legal working citizens in this country.
You know,
the law is void.
Well, the Constitution is not being followed, obviously.
And here we get to the key point of the conversation. Well, the Constitution is void.
Hey, hang on a second. You know, people watching this live by YouTube are seeing us splash screen. Oh my goodness! Not only did you hear that, folks?
I fake it myself.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. See, people are watching my live by YouTube are being treated to a splash screen because you would never believe what's going on behind the scenes here. Okay. Eric the tech, God love him. He's, I knocked off the microphone off my desk. I'm having trouble with the,
he has no internet.
With my computer. And he's, yeah, I'm, do you hear that? And tossing computers. I'm actually, I'm having a little fit over here. So we had to put up the splash screen in order for you not to see my poor behavior.
I give you the internet cord, but I'm going to,
it doesn't matter. Calls. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
It wasn't working last time. I know that.
I know. But anyway, the show rules. He's not, he's an illegal occupier of the Oval Office. And I got an email the other day, or yesterday, I believe it was, when I had my, when I was very forceful with my discussion from somebody who said, because I made it a point to say Cruz does not appear to be eligible under the Constitution, constitutionally eligible for, to be president based on Article 1, Section 2. All right.
Well, he's not eligible. No, you're right on that.
Now, somebody took issue with me saying, well, I'm not sure exactly if he misheard me or if I misspoke, but the bottom line is Cruz is not eligible. Rubio is not eligible because they are neither one are natural born citizens by definition. And you can toss out all you want about the,
Clinton shouldn't be eligible either with her felony charges she should be facing.
Well, yeah, right. But
that's
again,
separate.
You know, I mean, and people can argue all day long about the various decisions, opinions by the Supreme Court. Okay, but the bottom line here, opinions, right? And Greg Jackson speaks heavily about this. Okay, about the Constitution. And I would say Greg Jackson's probably a better constitutional scholar than Mark Levin. And, you know, Mark Levin is very intelligent out there, and he's another radio show host, talk radio show host. And he's got degrees, and he understands the Constitution. But the issue here, do not tell me based on, show me the law. Show me where there is eligibility by anyone that does not meet the qualifications under Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution. You will not be able to. And that's a real big issue. And of course, abortion, homosexual unions, same deal.
Folks, we're up against the top of the hour break. We'll be right back with your phone calls after this. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.